Yeah. Uh-huh.
Listen close.
Listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to be creative, you got the mind for it. Then get reminded you really ain't got the time for it. But why ignore it? Cause self-expression's a must. Art is difficult, but so is life, and y'all ain't giving up, no. You say you're broke or you're lacking a bit of talent, but your art is so unique to yourself that that's invalid. You say you don't know how to start, so now you're trapped in. But you can start your journey right now if you imagine. Art is passion, yup. Art is truth, art is dream, art is fashion, art is action. You can develop your craft as well as some practice. A couple minutes don't hide behind a distraction. So no more excuses, I know that you can do this. You realize that everything is art and you produce it without you even knowing. Long as you stay devoted to thinking, dreaming and hoping, you're always making your music. Yeah.
I'm here with Cindy and Debbie, and we are going to just chat today. We're going to chat about our 2019s and look towards our 2020s. So we've got the PDF, which you can download below, but I thought it'd be fun, you know, to see our process and maybe it sparks something in you and in your process. And you can see how mainly Cindy and Debbie, how like the prolific pros approach their art. Yeah. Hi. I feel like I just did a big intro and didn't even say hello.
You're one big hello. You are hello, Kaylee.
Right. So we'll dig right into the workbook. First question, how did we feel creatively in 2019?
Well, I'll hop in. So I really enjoyed the question, looking back in this time of year. So what I wrote down was that I experienced a lot of growth, new techniques, new materials, and I spent a lot of time putting things together in a new way. And I grew in friendships and connections, and I participated in several meetups, and I wrote down, you know, in dozens of hangouts. I don't know, I was going to say hundreds, but I might be exaggerating a little bit. So I guess when I think about 2019, I think it was a really big year for me creatively, and I feel like I am a tree that has deeper roots and higher branches. Ooh. So yeah, that's 2019.
Oh, I like that analogy. I also like that you spoke a lot about connections and stuff this year. Obviously, that's important to your creative process.
Very.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit more about it?
Well, I prefer being alone. I really prefer being alone. And like, if left to my own devices, I would probably never be around other people. But what I'm finding is the really great balance that get messy has helped me see that I need to be connected and to be with other people and to be in community, even though my process of making art is often by myself. So it's vital to me to be connected, just vital.
What about you, Debbie?
Well, first, I just want to say that I like being connected to you too. First, I just wrote three words about how I felt creatively in 2019, which is proud, inspired, and motivated.
Ooh.
And I really, so I kept surprising myself with talent that I never knew I had. I mean, you both know that I didn't do any art before 3 years ago. And so as I keep expanding what I'm doing, it's just kind of shocking to me. Like, I'm constantly shocked that I have this stuff in me. But I also felt like I inspired others. And the two big kind of indicators for me of how amazing the year was that I went to art school for 2 weeks at this very famous art school in Maine, and I sold art. So those two things are just like a whole new level that happened to me in 2019.
Yeah.
That's a very cool. I mean, I know both of you guys had good Atyas, but like that is very good. That is very good. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. I feel like we should have invited another person who had a bad year without it being like
really bad. So they can get on here and feel really bad in public.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. I think for my year, probably wasn't on the same level as yours. I think my year was a bit of refinement. That's the word that I used. So my word for the year was catalyst. And I had a very different idea of what that was going to mean for the year when I chose it. But it kind of ended up being like trial by fire. So my word for last year was prune, which I think is much more appropriate for this year, but obviously. So if I think about like my year as a catalyst in art, yeah, definitely. There was a lot that I let go of, a lot of deep work in my art. Usually it's been like quite easy for me, but I feel like this year I reached new depths in that. I don't know, like I purposefully slowed down in my art. I heard Amy Miracle, I think it was, saying, well, not think, it was definitely Amy Miracle, saying that her number one tip was to do layers. And so I tried that. So everything in my art has been slower, which is new to me, but I like it. And I feel like previously I had just like, what's that thing? Like, what did I write? Yeah. It's more, instead of lots and lots, it was more quality. And I was pretty deliberate in that. I was pretty deliberate in my depth. So my projects were deeper and reaching inwards and exploring feelings and emotions and stuff, which I'm not used to. And everything like this year has felt very good, but tiring. So kind of like, you know, when you throw a dinner party and it's like, it's the best and you like work the whole day and you're on your feet the whole day and then your friends come and you celebrate and it's great. And then at the end, you're so tired, but it's that like good tired, which yeah. I've heard is what runners and people who exercise feel like. I've heard. So that was my year, is it was less, but more.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is.
So then the next question I think is kind of obvious for you guys. Are you happy with the quantity?
I am happy with the quantity. I made art every single day this year, and sometimes more than one thing of art a day. And I just can't believe what pours out of me. So yes, I'm happy with the quantity. Maybe too happy. Like it's so much. I just filled my third bookshelf full of journals. So like what's going to happen to my space if I keep doing this for the next 40 years?
Right. It's funny because when I read the question, I mean, the first thing that my go-to is, I have so many unfinished things and so I left that in my reflection because no matter how much art I do and self-improvement and everything else, I mean, there's this habitual way for me to first look and see what I do and not think it's good. And so I need to just embrace that. That's just part of my process too. So I do have a lot of unfinished projects, but I also have a ton of things that I created. So I'm really happy with the quantity. I mean, like Debbie, I'm thinking, I already take up 2.5 rooms in my house. So I'm not sure what can happen, you know? So yeah, I feel like I did a lot and I feel really happy about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy. Like I said, it's less than last year, but it's deeper and much more personal, which I think it's interesting. It's an interesting avenue I'm going down. I'm just following it.
Yeah.
Okay, so quality.
Oh, I think my quality has gone way up. I feel so much more confident and capable and less judgy. I mean, that's funny coming on terms of me saying, oh, I always, you know, it's not good enough. But I think that's more about things like quantity and measuring against other people. Comparison is where I go there. But in terms of quality of my own recognition, I feel really, really, I love what I'm doing and I love what I'm experimenting with. Even the stuff that I hate, I love.
I am happy with the quality of what I made, and particularly in areas that are new or newish. Like, I've made books this year that I really, really love. And, you know, when I first started out, the thought of making a book was like, oh yeah, I mean, that's what other people do. Like, I can't make a book. And now I make books. I mean, I make pamphlet stitch journals in like 10 minutes. I wanted to send one to somebody for a present, and I was like, oh, I'll just send her a journal, and I just made it. And it used to be something that I had to kind of like think through and plod through. And so I have, and then I've made even more elaborate journals this year, and I'm so proud of that I can do that now. And then I have quite a few pages that I really love. And then I'm participating in Carve December, which is an Instagram challenge where you carve a new handmade stamp every day of December. And I decided to do it at the very last minute. I had done it last year, and I thought it was really fun, but the stamps were kind of like very rudimentary and I don't really use them very much. So then I decided this year I was going to do it again. And I have only been doing it for a week, and I'm making these amazing stamps. And I, again, like, it's just, I don't know, like, where is this coming from? So yes, I'm very happy with the quality of a lot of the stuff that I'm making.
I love that. Okay. So I think for those who are watching and wondering, like, maybe they're not happy with their quantity or quality, what would you say would be the best tip to get happy with that? It sounds like it's learning new things and making an F ton.
I think it's trying new things and just kind of taking things on, even if you don't know what your version of it is going to look like. Just saying yes.
And I think that the risk of saying yes and trying something new is supported and helped if you can do it with encouragement from others. And that, for me, like, being on Hangouts regularly has allowed me to watch other people talk about something that they're doing. And like Debbie says, you know, oh, well, that's something other people do. And I can watch that and I can watch that and I can experiment with it. I don't have to show it to anybody. But over time, what I can also do is ask, and, well, this didn't work. And then they'll say, especially Sarah is so great about saying, yeah, well, that's because, and then she explains why if I use a different material, it's really going to set me up for success. And so I think improving the quantity and quality for me has grown a lot out of being willing to ask and connect with others. It really helps. It helps to make it not so scary.
Ooh. I like that. I think that those two combine quite nicely, because I'm busy writing notes, obviously. I feel like I don't want to like have the stuff pass me by. But like saying yes, even when you don't know what it looks like, right? That's super scary. And in order to make it less scary, you ask and you talk about it and you get input from all these amazing women that are just ready, and women, men, non-binary, everything. But people that are just so ready to give you what they know. And that's what's amazing about this whole community. Okay. What were the things that you wished you made but you didn't? Anything?
I'll go. I wish that I could sew. I don't know how to sew. And I really like the look of people's journals when they sew on their pages. So I wish that I could do that. And then the other thing is that I wish that I could draw more easily. I mean, I have transformed in my self-awareness of the fact that I can draw, because I used to say that I can't draw, but I clearly can draw. But it's still like, if I want to draw a certain thing, it kind of hurts my head. Like I have to really concentrate and focus and kind of like dedicate time to it. And so I wished that I would have been able to draw more comfortably.
I think you're so good. I think that for me, the thing that I had some ideas for some really big mixed media canvases. I had a sense like back in May or June that I really wanted to do some big things. And I got into these botanicals and I wanted to do these big abstract botanicals, and then just life happened. So I didn't get to do those. So, but I will, and I'm not feeling really bad about it. I just like, okay. And I can keep making the sketches and I keep putting them in my art journals, because I know that eventually, and maybe they don't need to be on canvas. Maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe they're going to be on wood, or maybe they're going to be on some glass. I don't know, but maybe. So I still am going to do that, but I haven't.
Debbie, for sewing, I don't know how to sew either, but you literally just need to buy a sewing machine and run it through. That's it.
Easy.
What?
Billy taught me how to do that too. I don't know how to sew. I could never make a dress or anything, but I can put my book in that sewing machine and
yeah.
So
yeah.
Super.
Thank you.
So we also spoke about what prevented you from creating. I also like the fact that you're both just like, well, I'll do it next time. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. I want to jump in and just say that when I looked at my answer for that, I wrote time and space, and I don't know anybody who has more space than me. So again, with the never enough. But also family obligations. I think it's really important to just say that that's not a problem. Mm. You know, family obligations and family connections and things that happen in my family. My parents are elderly. My daughter had a baby. You know, that there's just a lot of things going on. And so for me, it's about folding in those realities into my creative life and saying, yeah, they're one of the reasons I couldn't do these big, huge canvases of acrylic and mixed media was because I was doing some other things, and those are also creative, but I really get the whole family obligation stuff.
Hmm. Yeah. I like the idea that we've all got time. We've just got different priorities at different times in our life, and it's all totally okay. Like there's nothing wrong. Like if you've got, you know, a grandbaby and you don't have time to make art because you're loving your grandbaby, there's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. Like, we're lucky to have other things. Yeah.
My answer to what prevented me from creating what I wanted to create this year is competing life priorities.
Yeah.
Which is a phrase that I use for like my patients who aren't taking care of themselves the way I wish they would, because they have competing life priorities, and I have a lot of competing life priorities. So sometimes they take over more time than others.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also, for me, it's been very helpful to realize that I go through seasons in my life and my art's going to look different in every single season. And that's what's cool about art, is that it can adapt to what you need.
You know, Kaylee, I'd like to say one more thing about that too. One of the things I noticed that prevented me from doing some things this year was that I had too many classes. Mm. I have so many classes that I have bought that sometimes I look at and it just takes my breath away, and I think I can't do anything. Because so I would say that when I'm hearing you talk about less, but it's more, I think that's really, I mean, I know I'm getting ahead, but that's definitely something I'm looking at as I leave this year behind and go into the next, is that I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to do more when just doing what I'm doing is good. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. And I feel like if you're feeling pressured to do more, you know, so in other words, like, it's not more that's going to make that pressure go away.
Right.
with the class things, it's been helpful for me to make a list of what they are and then just do one by one and just go one by one. And if you don't want to do a class that you've purchased, you can let it go and it can come back later if you want. That's been very helpful for me.
Yeah. Permission.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So what did you learn about yourself and your art this year?
Well, I will say that I had a very hard year and I learned that art helps me through things. And I also learned that I inspire others, which is not always easy for me to embrace, but I really kind of got that message this year.
I'm glad you got that message.
Me too. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you've got two people right here.
Yeah, I know. Right. That are totally inspired by you.
Oh.
Yeah. So I have four things I wrote down for that. So one, the main thing that I know about myself that I've learned and my art is that I love color. And that is even when it's a limited palette. So even if I'm just using tight buff and gray, I love them when I'm using them. Whatever it is that I'm using, I love. And I am really fascinated by that relationship that I have with my palette, whatever it is. So I used to think that I had to have all the colors on my palette because what if I wanted to choose something? And now I understand that really I can have two colors on my palette and I'm in love with them. So I think that's going to be really fun to sort of take consciously into the future with my art. I'm inspired by the world around me. And again, as a person who would really prefer to be alone, that takes me by surprise. But I am, the more I engage in the world around me, the more inspired I am. And I've found that I am a person that I want to be when I'm in my art studio.
Ah.
So I can be enthusiastic and I don't worry about like trying to be cool or anything. I'm enthusiastic and I'm positive and I'm brave. But I really like who I am when I'm in here. And I'm trying to take that out too. So, yeah.
I love that. I feel like claiming the title of an artist has also helped me. You talking about being enthusiastic and brave. Being an artist has meant to me I can wear whatever clothes I freaking want. And it's like something I've always struggled with growing up is because I want to fit in the box. And I'm like, I don't need to fit in the box. I'm an artist. I can wear that ridiculous looking outfit. It's very freeing. Yeah, it is. So I think this year I learned that I've got a lot in my head, and I always used to think that I was someone that didn't need to do like the words part of art journaling, but now I do, and I've had a lot to say in my art journals. They've been very, very raw, and I feel like even the paint strokes and even, you know, my compositions and stuff, it's been quite raw. I never thought of myself, always thought of myself as, you know, like minimalist art journaling and not needing to put everything on. Now I need to put everything on. So that's what I learned about myself this year.
That's good. Mm. New season. It's like a new season.
Exactly. Okay, so what does being deliberate in your creativity look like?
I had fun with this question because, again, I go back always to time and space. And then I thought, well, be deliberate about this answer, Cindy. What is really being deliberate? And so making time to clean and organize my art studio on a regular basis is one of the most deliberate things I can do for my creativity. You know, to say today is the day that I'm going to empty the trash and I'm going to get rid of the scraps and I'm going to do the things that need to be done. And I find that a very deliberate bit of art self-care.
Ooh, art self-care. I like that phrase.
That's really good, Cindy. don't do that as often as I think would be good for me. So I notice like the mess starts to kind of encroach on my brain. And then finally I will, you know, in a kind of fit of desperation, like clear off the space, and then I feel so free. And so that's, I think that would be really great for me to schedule it in or wait, you know, do it before I'm desperate.
Yeah. Mine looks like being mindful. And what I mean by that is not, I think maybe last year I kind of went through a phase where I just like did art to get it out of me. Like to not have it sitting inside anymore. Right. And then I was able to make like lots and lots and lots of stuff from that. And now it's more like being very present and feeling the textures and waiting for things to dry. That's a big one. And not having, okay, I've got six journals next to me, like lying open. Like probably like that is not that mindful. But I think that the number one thing for me with being deliberate is just showing up and just making that choice. That's like the easiest way to be deliberate is just to be like, should I make art? Yes, no, yes.
Yeah.
So how does prioritizing art in your life affect you?
Yes. Does it make me a better partner, parent, friend? Does it relieve stress? Yes, 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 yes. I think that my biggest takeaway though is that it helps me remember that I'm responsible for my own happiness. I really am. When I create, I think I can create and cry. I can create and be angry. I can have my emotions and my reactions, and I can use them in my art. And then I'm more deliberate and more thoughtful in my interactions with others. And so, so I think that that does help me have better relationships and less stress.
Yeah.
My list of how prioritizing art affects me is that it brings balance. It's meditative, which I need and like. It gives me a feeling of mastery and completion. Helps anxiety. And then my final one that I love is that it shows my sons that I have skills and passions that are just for me. Which I think is a very important thing to show my children, that I'm not solely here to take care of their every need.
Right? Oh, that's beautiful, Demi.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all of what you guys said, what's very, like, very current in my life is I feel a lot lighter when I'm creating. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because we know this, but we forget. And I've got a ritual where I create every day. I walk my dog and then I go to my studio and I make. But there was, I can't remember. I don't know. I was just cranky, like in general, and I couldn't figure it out and I didn't know why. And then I went down to the studio the second time that day and I put on Nirvana. It was Nirvana. And I filled a little Moleskin. Like I filled the whole thing. And wow. I was like,
wow.
Oh, that's how I was cranky. Okay. And I think, so it's been interesting to me to try and realize that there are things that are releasing when I'm journaling, and then there are things that are just journaling. And so I'm interested in exploring what the releasing parts are more next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about your top 10 creative catalysts from this year.
You go first, Debbie.
Okay. I have 10.
I do too.
Okay. Number one, going to Haystack Mountain School of Crafts, which is the art school that I spent 2 weeks at. Teaching art journaling at the Jewish Studio Project, going to the DC art retreat, going to the Florida art retreat, hangouts with art friends, taking a figure drawing class, making 4 pieces of art to sell and selling them, doing the painted diaries, which was a year-long challenge that I've been doing, doing Carved December, and having my books be in the Nevada Fine Arts Books Show.
It's very cool.
What a list.
That is.
Yeah.
What a list.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. What a year.
Good year.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that are similar about our list. So
at least three of them, we were together for at least three of them.
More than that. So collabs with my Get Messy friends. I really love doing collaborative journals one-on-one or in bigger groups. I think they're a lot of fun, and they've been huge catalysts for creativity for me. Number 2 is the Hangouts. Just really being able to balance that community with my alone time is phenomenal. 3 was the Washington and Florida retreats. I think getting together in person is, there's nothing like it. 4, I went to a Donna Downey retreat all by myself in January. My mother was in the hospital. There was just so many things going on, but I went and I had signed up for this retreat and nobody else came. So it was just me. And it was just to have a week in an art space that I didn't have to do anything for anybody ever was a huge catalyst for my year.
Yeah.
Traveling, going on a cruise up into the North Sea and going to Seattle and those kind of things inspired me and my images. My sewing machine. My sewing machine, I was the same way. I love all that sewing stuff. And so, yeah, just to be able to sew in my art journals. 7 is faces, faces, faces. They've been a huge catalyst for me and helped me learn and teach. Becoming a grandmother has been a big creative catalyst. Figuring out my hair. This has been big for me. I have done a lot of stuff with my hair this year with color. And again, it's been more than just my hair. It's been a process, really. And then meditating every day. I do a walking meditation every single day. And in January, it'll be 2 full years that I've done it. And I can't tell you how important it is. So those are mine.
Amazing. I was just thinking how awkward it'd be if there was like a retreat that you both went to and one of you had it on your list and the other one didn't.
I know. Well, we're going to. She was in Portland. But that was a different year.
It was the year before. Yeah.
It was the year before. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Mine, Get Messy. Obviously, like everyone, Get Messy, everything about it. Travel. At some stage in the year, I counted my journals. I was feeling like I hadn't made enough and it like was in the hundreds. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I tried urban sketching, going to my studio every day, every morning, which is habit again. I feel like I keep coming back to habit throughout my life. Watching Elliot play with paint and stuff. My iPad Pro, which is what I feel. Hello.
Hello.
So it's been my like absolute toy. I love it. And I'm exploring new ways of creating on it. And then I had a project where I altered a German passport. And I thought it'd be cool to have half South African, half German. And then it just absolutely went into something completely different, exploring my identity and where I am. So that project was big for me. Nirvana, listening to Nirvana again. Amazing. And then also doing less and working in layers. I think those were like my top 10 things.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm very struck with that passport project, so I hope you'll turn that into a class.
I feel like, yeah. So this year it's been like, it's been interesting because I've been making a lot of things that I'm not, I feel like very vulnerable about them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've got another passport though. Maybe if I can like be less attached. Yeah.
I really want to alter a passport. I've admired Orly Avenieri's passport altering class, and I have this passport that I just am saving till I feel like I'm able to alter it, but
Oh.
Just do it.
Molly is amazing.
Wow.
Okay. Was there anything else about 2019 that was interesting to you looking back on it? That's not in the notes. I'm just asking you.
Yeah.
I loved seeing what happened with Get Messy over 2019. I have to tell you, Kaylee, really, it was very inspiring to see the transformation of Get Messy and of you personally as a leader. Super inspiring.
That means the world to me. Thank you.
Absolutely. I think that there's so much division and schism and everything out in the world all over the place. And to be able to find a community that can transform and change so much, but also with so much love and compassion and honesty and care to all parts, so that it doesn't feel like a schism. It doesn't feel like a breaking apart as it does more of a lotus coming flower. You know, I feel like you guys really did a good job.
Thank you so much.
Happy to be here.
Yay.
Yeah. Janet.
Yeah, it's been very good for me too. Yeah. Okay. 2020, next year, it's a new decade. How do you want to feel going into the decade? Into the year. Less pressure.
I wrote expansive and engaged. That's how I want to feel. And my word for 2020 is look. And I really want to be more conscious about being engaged in whatever it is that life has.
Mm. I said I want to feel confident, calm, inspired, and like I'm doing it for me and not for Instagram.
That's a big one.
That is a good one.
I think that's what I had a lot of that this year, is doing it for me, not for Instagram. It's been interesting because there is that, like, part of me looking back on the year, I went through my Instagram feed and I was like, well, then there's not that much yet. And I felt down, and it's so weird how we can attach value to that, but also because Instagram's not bad, right? Instagram is an amazing thing and it connects people and it's awesome to see what your friends are doing. But there is like an interesting element when you make for yourself rather than Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel about it, Debbie? Do you want to expand on your thoughts?
Well, it is interesting because I do get a lot of inspiration. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I'm doing the stamp carving process for myself challenge and, you know, going through a particular hashtag when you're working on a certain project or taking a class and looking at the images from that class's hashtag or that challenge's hashtag, it is super inspiring. And it sparks ideas in me that are not copying that other person's ideas, but it's like, oh my God, I could make a whatever. And so I do really appreciate Instagram for the tool that it is, but I also know that I sometimes feel pressure to post something or certain things and not other things because, you know, of the reaction I might get. And I don't want to be driven by that.
What are your thoughts?
But I love how it's connected me with other people. I mean, I feel like I have relationships that are real amazing relationships that I wouldn't have had if it weren't for Instagram, you know?
Right.
I mean, this might be a separate discussion for another day. Yeah, maybe we can do that. Let's schedule a time to talk about it. I'm just so interested in what practically Instagram for me looks like compared Instagram creating for myself compared to Instagram is. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, one of the things for me that I notice is that when I'm in the studio and I'm using an odd shape, like I'm using a journal right now that's like this size, mm-hmm. it does not go well on Instagram. It doesn't look good when I do a double page. I love the spread, and as soon as I post it on Instagram, I'm like, oh, that looks terrible. And what I know is that it just looks terrible because of the platform. It's for me. And so I just have to continue to say, well, you know, either I can either post them or not post them. That is irrelevant. I still like the spread. So I think that it's good to see limits. It's good to see boundaries. It's good to see those kinds of interactions. They actually help me creatively, but I want it to be more focused on myself.
Yeah, okay. I don't want weaklets.
I know. It's the coolest conversation, right?
I think about it a lot. Like, okay. So what I would like to feel creatively, not Instagram-ly, my word, I came to it this weekend, is settled. And I feel like I want to go back to the routine and some kind of structure again in my art. I feel like previously I've been very structured and this year very unstructured. So I'd like to find something in between them. Okay. So how much do you want to create next year?
I don't have an answer for that one.
Yeah.
I just put every day.
Yeah. That's what I did. I put that too.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the next question, what quality would you like to create?
That was a little hard for me to answer. So I just put some areas that I want to learn more about or get better at. Mm-hmm. So I bought some alcohol inks recently and I am completely flailing at them because I don't really know how to use them. So I want to explore how to use them. I said maybe learn how to sew. Learn more about watercolors and then draw more. I want to draw more so that I can get more comfortable drawing.
And I put that I want to do whatever is my best that day. Wherever I am that day, I want to be able to just do and have that be what it is. So many things I want to learn and do. And I'm becoming more comfortable admitting this out loud. I don't want to be an expert at anything. I would rather continue to keep finding new things to be crappy at and play with and learn, you know? So that's basically finding space for myself to be that. So
I like that.
Great. Yeah, that's awesome.
I feel like maybe it was last year where I came to the idea, or it was because I went to Creative Bike and I was a little bit intimidated. I was like, I am not as good as all the other artists that have taught there. And then I was like, that's the best part, is that I'm not the best. I don't want to be the best, but I would like to make a lot. Like, that is, I want to be good at quantity because I feel like we can get our quality through quantity. I don't think like the idea of someone being born with like special skills, that doesn't mean anything to me. I want to know how hard you worked for it and how many little steps you put in to get where you are. That's what's cool to me. So yeah, I write that I'm okay with my current level. And I think it just goes back to continue consistently creating, even if it's rubbish, even if it's terrible, like, I just want to make things. And that's my focus.
You know, I think that Debbie, you just really embody that, what Kaylee just said. You really embody that, like, especially just looking at Carve December, you know? Mm-hmm. I want all your stamps from 2018 because I just want to love on them. But, you know, if you hadn't had those stamps, you wouldn't be carving the ones you're doing this year.
Yeah.
The step-by-step doing it, it's so amazing and it's so inspiring. It's so inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry for my coughing. At least I can mute it. yeah. Because that's the thing, right? Is is the more that we do, it's just naturally going to happen, right? And and Cindy, maybe you become the expert in just trying everything. That's pretty cool. You know, instead of like the expert in watercolors, like finding our own like specific niche. That, yeah, that makes me excited. So, do you guys have 10 things that you want to try next year?
I have 5.
I only had 4.
Go for it.
You go, Cindy.
Okay, so I want to stretch my mixed media boundaries.
Ooh.
Different kinds of media. I want to finish my extra large Moleskine journal. I have one of those huge ones, and I want to finish it in 2020. I want to be more accepting of my mess. You know, I am a mess. I want to minimize my supplies by using them.
Ooh, yeah.
Like I don't want to throw everything away in January and then spend all year buying it again. I've done that 3 times. So I want to just use them. And the things that I have, I want to use them. And then my 5th one is I want to learn how to like watercolor.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's on my list.
Yeah. Cool. So I want to go to at least one art retreat, maybe more. I want to explore drawing in a different way, which mostly means like not feeling pressure to make drawing look like a certain thing. I want to, because of what I'm doing with Carve December and looking at other people's stamp carving, I want to get a finer, I want to try more fine line stamp carving, like a little bit more detailed, because I don't feel very skilled at that and I'd like to. And then I put color because I do color very randomly. Like I plot things together and I just want to channel my inner Sarah Rondon and like actually know color and like get color.
Yeah. My list is to get people to join me in real life at the MSCHQ.
Oh, yay! That's a good goal.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've got a space now and I have a massive table with a bunch of chairs and I would love for people to just join me and have it like an open place so people can join whenever they feel like it.
God, that would be an amazing retreat.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you can. So I feel like I need to think about how I want to do it because I don't want to do anything formal. Just like come over, come stay with me. Yeah. That's what I want.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
But yeah, that will be very new to me.
Travel.
Yeah. Well, I know Mariah is, she's like already ready because she's an hour plane away from me, so she's not too far. So that's exciting to me. Yeah, but I'm going to explore that more. Other ones I want to, so this year, after the first quarter, I stopped my silver rerum, which is like the very relaxed, commonplace book that I do. I want to pick that back up. I want to journal more for mindset and work on mindset things. After speaking to Rebecca from journaling.com, she gave like a lot of good ideas for changing mindset. And I've come to realize that mindset is very important. And words have power. So that's one. And then video, exploring video creatively again. And oh, I've got lino cutting. So that's like stamp, carving your own stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a German woman here as well who does it. So that is a big one. And failing. I want to fail more. I feel like I've been very safe and I'm only doing techniques that I know. So I want to do some things that I'm definitely going to fail at. That'll be pretty cool. Yeah. So what are your focuses?
Debbie. I feel like I'm so dominating.
So art journaling every day. It seems obvious, but you know, I do want to make sure that I attend to that. I want to make things for other people, like make cards and make journals for other people. And then I want to take more in-person art classes.
Again, that personal connection.
Yeah.
So mine are, my three is I want to do more writing, and I'm not sure if this is like in my art or about my art or if writing comes out of the art. So I really explore that whole idea about the writing. I think I have words in my head that need to come up. I want to continue to create in community, even though my preference is to be alone and just to explore that edge and that balance, you know, so I hope to keep doing that. And then we mentioned this a little bit before. You mentioned this, Kaylee, and I want more depth in my art. And I feel like I do a lot of deep work in my art anyway, but it's funny, I wrote literally and metaphorically. So I want to get better at depth and three-dimensional depth work in my art, as well as having a deeper involvement in the process. So yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that phrase, deep involvement in the process, is pretty cool. That's a good phrase to focus on. Yeah. My three, I've also got writing, exploring my words and my feelings and my life. Then the video, and also being casual about art.
Oh, that's good.
I gave it a very elevated view this compared to previous years. So I want to kind of get that casual, maybe. See, I wrote casual slow, but now, like, looking at it, I feel like those are opposites. Being casual in your art and also being slow, because slow is kind of more intentional. But yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I think, who knows? And casual, I think, is this relaxed relationship with, you know? And being slow is not so much deliberate, like I'm thinking about where everything goes, but I'm letting myself feel playful or experiment, or I'm slow enough to say, well, I'm going to use a different kind of gray instead of Payne's gray. Like, I'm like, what?
What do you mean the other?
There's another gray.
Right? I know. I created my own gray, which is just funny. And it's like, wow. I had to get out of a rut. And so there was a slowness to that, but it was also pretty casual because now I have this gray on it. So it's, and I can always go back over it with Payne's gray and fix it.
That's a really good insight. I have a very corny joke. Have you tried Kaylee gray?
Oh my God.
Oh, Kaylee gray.
I'm
so sorry. I'll name this. Maybe I'll name this Kaylee gray.
Yay.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
Going into 2020, how can you fight against the stuff that's preventing you from creating? And preventing you from creating what you want to?
Clean my space. cull my ephemera and magazines. Ooh. So, you know, like I don't have to save every single 1-inch scrap that I rip off from something else. Schedule my art. So make sure that I put it in. And then explore arting in other spaces.
Ooh, I like that one. I'm actually going to write it down for myself.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, exploring art in new places, because you really create differently. Like if I think about my travel journals compared to my regular journal, it's completely different.
Yeah, that goes with my need to expand and engage.
Yeah.
That idea.
I think you guys can come to Germany, then we can all mix our gold.
Yeah, expand it. So mine is to buy less, buy fewer supplies, buy fewer classes, buy fewer things, just use and reuse and deepen and that sort of thing. And I think that's the way I keep myself separate from my artist. First I got to get the right size canvas, or first I got to go get some more gesso, or I can't do anything until I get that Mars pail, whatever.
I really want that. Yeah, the Mars. I want all of them. Okay, so how can we prioritize our creativity next year?
Well, I wrote three things, and I really like them. So one is be creative in everything.
Ooh.
In all things. Number two, don't just think of being creative as making art. That's really one of the things I want to keep telling myself, that I am creative with whatever I'm doing. And then I want to look at the world with creative eyes, and whatever it is. And so again, my look. So to me, that really prioritizes creativity, no matter where I am and what I'm doing.
I like that they're all working towards each other. Like they're all the same. It's three different ways of saying the same thing, right?
I also had three, and they were much more concrete things, although I love your more cerebral things too. My three things were go to Michigan, which is the next Get Messy art retreat that's being discussed and planned right now. Teach at the Jewish Studio Project every month, which is where I teach art journaling once a month, which I have for 2019, but I want to do that for 2020. And then get off Instagram and Facebook more.
Ooh. Yeah.
Those are my three.
Okay. I like the differences in abstract, concrete things.
Yeah.
Mine are try new things, create in real life. I don't know what that meant. But spend time thinking and notebooks, ? Oh, the notebooks one is... I'm trying to figure out what to do with all my notebooks because I'm becoming more digital with my note taking and my brainstorming and stuff like that. And so I want to consider like having all of I'm just like looking at these shelves, like, do I need them? Which is another discussion.
Yes, it is. A great one. A great discussion.
Gosh. Yeah. So yeah, I think that all ties back, all of our things tie back in what we've been talking about. I like the idea of being a creative, right? And of it just like pouring out of you and pouring into you and just being open to those kind of experiences and to that in your life. That's interesting. I think I want to explore that idea as well. Okay, and then our last question, and I think you're both doing an amazing job of this already, and so people watching could definitely take some notes. How can you prioritize your art? Debbie.
So also in a kind of concrete way, I said that so last year I joined the Deer Isle Artists Association, which is the artist association on the island in Maine that we go to every year. So I said that I want to join that again, because that made me think of myself as an artist. So I think prioritizing my art means me having to think about myself as an artist. I put that I want to think about making art to either gift or sell, but it's not about the gifting or selling. It's about, I only make art in a book right now, pretty much. And I want to think about making art in a different media, possibly. So I think that would sort of change how I think about what I do. And then I also put exercise more, because I feel like clearing my head by exercising would give me more mental space to prioritize art.
Mm. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, those are great. Thanks. So to the question, how can I prioritize my art? I just wrote, I do.
I wrote the same.
You know, I make space and I take up a lot of space. And I just say, you know, I'm taking up this space. And so sometimes my art is in lots of places and I'm no longer feeling bad about that. Mm-hmm. The second thing is permission. I really want to get into a kind of concrete permission space. Like I'm even going to experiment around with giving myself, writing actual permission slips, you know, to just really give myself permission to either risk something or try something or say no to something or whatever, you know, and try to build that in. And then I make time. I spend lots of time in the studio and I'm in a different place of my life than a lot of people in that my kids are all grown and gone and I don't have to work outside the home. So, but to be honest, one of the things I say to myself is if I can't make the time, who can? So a lot of times I go into my art studio because I know that there are people who can't. I really do. And I get it. And I understand the struggle that they have to get 5 minutes. I was there at one point in my life with all the kids and stuff. And so sometimes I just go in here because I know that there are people who can't go in their studio and just to join that energy. So
thank you for doing that for me.
I do it. For you, I do.
Wow. Mine also wrote, I just do it. And for me, it's about honoring the decision that I made to prioritize it back in what year, like 2014 or whatever year it was. I made the decision then, and now I'm going to honor myself and I'm going to honor art with that decision. That's it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Wow. So thank you. It's been absolutely wonderful getting your insights into the way you see yourselves as artists and into your year previous, like reflecting on 2019 and going into next year. Thank you for sharing that with me and with everyone watching this.
It's been so fun.
I love the workbook, Kaylee. It really helped me kind of focus my thoughts and I really liked having that as a tool.
Yeah. And I'm going to use it. I'm going to keep it.
It's always nice being objective about yourself, right? Because we're often told, you know, you shouldn't compliment yourself or you shouldn't like boost yourself up. And we're taught that we need to be meek about everything, but you know, like looking objectively at what we've done, it's incredible. Like I'm super proud of you, Cindy. I'm super proud of you, Debbie. And I'm proud of myself. You know, we've made some pretty cool things. And just because it wasn't like compared to someone else, it wasn't the same. That's great. It's great to have different things happening.
Yeah. I love that we have all taken the time to say, I am putting this energy in the world. I am putting this kind of energy into this world. That's, you know, it could be in a group of other people who are saying, this is what I'm going to put into the world. I'm going to take time for art and I'm going to make something.
Mm.
Yeah. I got no time, I'm exhausted, I'm too broke. Got a full-time job and I'm a mother of four. No more excuses, you can leave that at the door. Kaylee Gray, break it down, time to let the world know. If you wanna be an artist, let the world be a stage. Working every day, let's see just what it takes. How to be an artist with Kaylee Gray. No more excuses, and that's all I gotta say. Yeah. Thank you.